let's go ahead and get started. I am told that at 11 o'clock, the building alarm will sound, and that will be our signal for the traditional 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Of silence, which I think we should observe. In the meantime, though, we have offsetting of cash pooling arrangements, paper 10. Bernadette?
Okay. So, agenda paper 10 is talking about offsetting requirements in IS 32. And the original submission is reproduced in appendix B.
Welcome, Bonnie.
Good morning.
Don't sound so enthusiastic.
It's a little early, I'll admit.
Okay, so the issue relates to whether certain types of cash pooling arrangements would meet the requirements for offsetting under IS 32, and specifically whether the regular transfers of balances into a netting account would be sufficient to demonstrate an intention to settle entire period-end balances on a net basis in accordance with paragraph 42B of IS 32. And so the submitter describes a notional cash pooling arrangement between a number of subsidiaries within a group, and each of those subsidiaries have a legally separate bank account, which in turn represent individual units of account. The arrangement has the following features. Both the bank and the group have the necessary legally enforceable right to offset the balances in the bank accounts in accordance with paragraph 42A of IS 32. Interest is calculated on a net balance of all the separate separate bank accounts, and the group instigates regular transfers of the balances into a single netting account. However, this is not required under the terms of the contract and is also not done at the reporting date. And also, the group doesn't actually know the amounts that are going to be set off in the future due to the fact that subsidiaries may subsequently place further cash on deposit or withdraw cash to settle other obligations, and so that they cannot say that those particular balances will be net settled. And so the submitter questions whether that regular transfer of balances into a netting account would be sufficient to demonstrate an intention to settle the balances on a net basis. And it presents then two different views. And the first view is that the requirements of paragraph 42B are met and that it does demonstrate a regular practice of net settlement and then that is sufficient to demonstrate an intention to settle on a net basis. And the alternative view is that the requirements are not met because there must be an intention at the reporting date to net settle the period end balances. But in the submitter's example, the positive and negative cash balances will rise and fall in line with cash requirements of individual subsidiaries within the group, rather than necessarily being used to offset one another at the next net settlement date. And so in terms of outreach, so we asked securities regulators, accounting standard setters and large accounting firms for their views on this issue. And the feedback received is summarised in paragraph 16 to 24 of the staff paper. And we noted that a number of the respondents commented that cash pooling arrangements were common, but there seemed to be many different types of cash pooling arrangements. And it was therefore not clear whether the specific type of notional cash pooling arrangement described by the submitter was common. In terms of the predominant accounting treatment, views were mixed. Some were of the view that the example presented would not meet the offsetting requirements, whereas others considered that they could be met, but that it would likely require judgment and would depend on the frequency of cash transfers. And then, consistent with those mixed views, respondents did comment that they had either observed diversity in practice or considered it to be likely, given the fact that there are many different types of cash pooling arrangements. So in order to analyse the question put forward by the submitter, we firstly considered the circumstances under which net presentation is considered to be appropriate, and then also whether the regular transfers of balances into a netting account could be sufficient to demonstrate an intention to settle on a net basis. So regarding the circumstances under which net presentation is appropriate, we noted that in accordance with paragraph 43 of IS 32, when an entity has both the legal right to set off a financial asset and a liability, along with the intention to do so, net presentation then more appropriately reflects the entity's expected future cash flows. And in terms of demonstrating an intention to settle net, we noted that there was some additional guidance provided in paragraphs 46 and 47 of IS 32. And that highlighted the importance of considering whether the net presentation of the asset and liability balances appropriately reflects the amounts and timings of expected future cash flows, taking into account an entity's normal business practice, the requirements of financial markets, and other circumstances that may limit its ability to settle net. And so in our view, we think that this assessment will require judgment and will depend on the individual facts and circumstances pertaining to the case. Consequently, within the context of the example presented by the submitter, we think that the entity would need to apply its judgment in order to assess whether it expects those individual account balances at the period end will be settled on a net basis, or whether it expects that those balances will be used for other purposes by various different subsidiaries within the group. And in this regard, given that one of the features of the example presented is that the balances at the reporting date may subsequently change prior to the next net settlement date as group entities place further cash on deposit or withdraw cash to settle other obligations, we think it would seem very difficult for the entity to assert an intention to settle the entire period end balances on a net basis. So on this, the basis of that analysis, we think that there is sufficient guidance within existing IFRSs to determine the appropriate accounting treatment, and also considering the outreach results that we received, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should not take this issue onto its agenda. So I guess the first question for you is whether or not you agree with the staff recommendation, or if you have any questions on the paper.
Comments? Charlotte?
I mean, I agree to some degree with the analysis. I think these things are common. We see them as an industry from the other side, where you're the bank providing those arrangements. I think a lot of it comes down to the use of those accounts, whether it's really primarily a deposit account that's earning interest and there's minimal movement, yeah. And what the cash sweep arrangements and all of that when looking at the intent. But I would also say that many people don't look at this as a netting question. It's really primarily the first question is a unit of account question, which I think it was noted in paragraph 26. And that's the sort of big question of how people look at that and what factors they use to determine the unit of account. And I've heard just from talking to peers that many people don't just apply a legal analysis. It isn't solely based on what the legal structure is of those accounts, and there are different analyses. And I think that's the sort of issue with these generally. And so, I mean, I don't have any problems with the agenda decision. I think you'd need to make it clear that you're assuming that these are separate units of accounts rather than implying that these are always separate units of accounts, because I think we haven't discussed that. And I think that would be
One of the assumptions, but I'm
it just doesn't read quite. Yeah. Talking to people, they were concerned it read that automatically these were separate units of account and you were down
by default. Okay, no, that's fine. Yeah.
Carl?
Thanks. I agree with staff's conclusion, however, I just don't like the sentence in the last second paragraph in this regard and to the end of the paragraph. I think it's too much prescriptive. I would leave this part, this judgmental part, outside the tentative agenda decision. I think it's too
Which
much.
Which sentence are you referring to, Carl?
In this regard, in the Interpretations Committee, in the second, in the end of the, the middle of the second last paragraph.
Yeah,
in this regard, the Interpretation Committee observed, I think it's too much prescriptive. Okay. We have sufficient principles above.
Yeah.
The point I would make, Carl, is that's the point we are just making out of the interpretation. If we take that out, we don't add much to this thing.
I think the paragraph 42B
should be enough. Let's see how we can work, play with this.
And the 47 as well.
Let's see how we can play with this.
Let's take that under advisement. Yeah. Andrew?
Thanks. First of all, so we don't see that many of these actual physical pooling arrangements. We see more notional pooling arrangements that clearly don't qualify for offset. But I think, based on the analysis, I would agree that there's enough guidance in IS 32 and therefore going down the tentative agenda decision route. I actually felt we could be a bit more emphatic in the penultimate paragraph. I mean, the word judgment is one of those words you can almost never object to, but I'm not quite sure what judgment is really referring to. The criteria in IS 32 seem fairly objective. The legal right aspect is totally objective. And you either have an intention to net settle the actual assets and liabilities that exist at year end, or you don't. And it seems in this fact pattern that those balances are going to be changed by future normal operating cash flows before the next physical settlement, before the next cash sweep takes place. So if that's the case, I don't think the offset criteria are met. So I thought we could be more emphatic by perhaps in this case not referring to judgment, I'm just referring to the facts. And I found the sentence that starts, "it would therefore seem difficult." It's terribly polite, but
I think what I was trying to capture is that I agree that in this particular example, given that they've stated that the balances are likely to move, it's pretty tricky. But we could envisage other scenarios where perhaps somebody may be able to apply their judgment and say, well, in actual fact, those balances may not be likely to move. But I take your point.
So would you say should consider the guidance above and assess whether, and leave out those words on judgment?
Possibly. I won't try and draft on the fly, but
I think
if that's if your expectation is the balances are going to change before the next week takes place, I don't think that gets you to offset.
Reinhard?
Like others have said, I also agree with the staff analysis. We don't see this particular type of pooling arrangement very commonly, but netting and offsetting is a big issue in and of itself. And I think, as the staff mentioned, it's really important to understand what are the legal terms and conditions and what is the actual intent of the entity. I had very similar comments to Andrew in terms of that particular paragraph, and with respect to the sentence that Carl referred to, my thought was, and I mentioned this to the staff earlier, that rather than saying that we don't know what the specific amounts that will be set off, I think it's the fact that we know the company doesn't have the intent to set off. They will have normal cash flows, inflows, outflows, and then at some later date there will be a netting that occurs. So I think that would help me in terms of the analysis and making it clear from the agenda decision.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that comment that we're not concerned that the amount might move. It's the fact that it might be settled in another way is our problem. Yeah.
Martin?
Yeah, I believe it's an excellent analysis. Probably something should be added about the unit of account, whether I talk about different legal entities or one legal entities and so on with different cash accounts. And I also have an issue with the second last paragraph, but with the sentence beyond the one of Carl's, where it says, "it would therefore seem difficult for the entity to assert that it had the intention to settle the entire period and balances on a net basis." So if we cross out this sentence, it would be clear for me. Probably it's a kind of diplomatic British English, and Germans are more straight, and it's a cultural difference, but to be clear on this, I would leave it out.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
So you'd just say the answer is no.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, if we say wait. Because if you follow the sentence, then you say presenting these balances net would not seem to appropriately reflect the amounts and so on. This is fine enough for me.
Yeah.
Would not seem to be and all the The one in advance is, rubbish.
Yeah.
So?
A couple of people have mentioned unit of account, and I'm just wondering what exactly they mean by that, because I didn't
think... Thank you, I was going to ask that
question. I
didn't
think you could combine different bank accounts just because even if it was the same legal entity. Different bank account numbers, I don't think that's the same unit of account, but maybe you mean something different.
Charlotte, you brought it up.
I mean, from my understanding is people don't just look at the legal base, they look at others. And I think in general, we would look at the legal framework. And you may have different bank accounts. They may, just for operational reasons, be set up. So often we'd set up different legal accounts for people, but they look like separate accounts, they've got separate numbers, but legally they don't have any substance, and legally you only have one overriding bank account. For example, you could have a mortgage and an offset account that actually are legally one account. But that said, I mean, the people I spoke to didn't give me the details of their unit of account question or how they evaluated it. It was just clear that it hadn't been evaluated in this paper, and that if it was evaluated, they wanted the opportunity to come back to it.
As I recall this submission, these are the accounts of different subsidiary entities.
Yes, correct.
So it's a little hard to say that they're
in this case,
not
I think
units
yeah.
of account. I guess I could see if you had.
If you have, say, company branches.
I have accounts for different branches of the same entity.
I think it also,
like
if you get sort of, guarantees and joint and several liability going on, it all becomes a bit more blurred.
I think that's a bit hard just to make a general comment about unit of account without it risking being read incorrectly.
That's why I wanted to take, presuming almost to make it that this clear, this was the presumption that these were separate units of account in this case, and that was taken as read.
Okay.
And then, so we weren't discussing the unit of account issue, which we haven't.
Yep.
I think we make that point in the paper that it's assumed these are separate units of account very clearly, because if we don't, then the whole issue of netting goes away.
It just isn't
everything
clear. It
becomes
is
synthetic.
In the tentative agenda decision, it reads like you're saying these are separate legal bank accounts, therefore they're separate unit accounts, therefore we're netting, without discussing that first assumption.
John?
I agree with the staff analysis. I do have similar comments to Reinhardt, though. It seems to me that it's unclear whether it's because we don't know the specific amounts that are going to be offset or there isn't an intention. And I think it's actually not the knowledge of the specific amounts, it's actually the intention. So I think the focus should be on that and not so much on the specific amounts. It does beg the question whether, if we know that some amounts are going to be set off, but we have an intention to settle some amounts, is that actually enough, or is it the right to set off the balances at the balance date? And I think we could be clear, which I think it's the latter, but I think we could be clearer on that as well. So.
Bob?
I have similar comments to others, especially in the part about that sentence where it says it would therefore seem difficult. I would be more emphatic. Related to Reinhardt's and John's comment, in the third paragraph, that last sentence, talking about that the amounts are not necessarily known at the reporting date because those balances may subsequently change. And so I started focusing on that may, and is that referring to, is that an expectation, or is that just because it's possible? And I think that refers back to the, whether we're looking at intention or what. And so you might want to focus on that sentence and clarifying that.
Tony?
Yeah, I guess I had similar comments to some of the others around the analysis. I did wonder about the in the example presented, the specific amounts that are to be set off. So it's the same comment as others. I guess I wonder what that might mean, for example, for offsetting derivatives, where the fair value might change.
I wasn't trying to capture that at all.
I was just thinking somebody could look at it and say, I'm offsetting these two derivatives.
Yeah, and I don't know the amounts. So therefore,
I don't know what the amounts are going to be. So I think maybe. Maybe clarifying that will be helpful, because then that will sort of focus this very much on this specific fact pattern, rather than something that might be broader.
Yeah, it was the fact that they were moving due to being settled in another way. So I completely agree that could be misconstrued. So
Okay, I sense a consensus, but a lot of drafting suggestions. Can I have a couple of volunteers to help the staff with a little drafting after the meeting? Bob, you had some pretty specific suggestions. Reinhardt, okay. Oh, excuse me. Bonnie, did you want to come in at all on this one?
I agree with the staff's conclusion, and I don't have any different comments than what's already been said around the table.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.